You may know the little slightly tongue-in-cheek story of the man who was speaking with another concerning what the minister had been speaking about in church that Sunday. What was he preaching about today? Was the question. Sin, came the response. What did he say about it? Was the question. I'm not too sure, but I think he was against it. It's one of those slightly silly little stories. For quite a long time now, the concept of sin has been disappearing. Society is now offended by any talk of sin. We live in a politically correct society, whatever that means. But the PC society is greatly offended by any talk of sin. And it would seem that this whole concept of sin has even been softened and diluted, even within the church. I wonder, have you heard the little verse that somebody put together about a certain minister, the Reverend Dr. Harcourt? Of him it was said, in the pulpit he eloquently speaks on divers matters with both wit and clarity, art, education, God, the early Greeks, psychiatry, St. Paul, true Christian charity, vestry repairs that must surely begin, all things but sin. He seldom mentions sin. You see, people are affronted by the idea of sin, and they are offended if they are referred to as sinners. I, as maybe many a minister, have come across, thankfully not too many, but I can think of at least one or two examples of situations where people point blankly said, don't call me a sinner, I'm not a sinner. And that's the kind of world in which we live. It really is an insult. But the massive problem with all of this, if we in our society move away from any idea or any substantial idea of sin, is that it actually cuts the very nerve of the gospel. It actually undermines any need for a gospel. Who needs a savior if we're not sinners? I came across this quotation from a man who has a lovely name of Cornelius Plantinga. Let me read it to you. For the Christian church, even in its recently popular seeker services, to ignore, euphemize, or otherwise mute the lethal reality of sin is to cut the nerve of the gospel. For the sober truth is that without full disclosure on sin, the gospel of grace becomes impertinent, unnecessary, and finally, uninteresting. Let me put that very, very simply as we begin over these coming Sunday mornings a series on the subject of sin and its cure. Can you see how serious a problem that is? Let me put it very simply. If there's no bad news, who needs good news? If there's no bad news, who needs to hear good news? What's the point in good news if there's no bad news? Let me put it another way. And this picks up on a famous slogan, a famous piece of graffiti which once went up and somebody then added something to it. Some years ago, you may know that this happened. I'm not sure which country it happened in, but somebody painted on the gavel of a wall, Jesus is the answer. and someone else came along and painted before it. But what is the question? We might put that another way. Within the Christian church, we say Jesus saves. Saves from what? Why do I need to be saved? Can you see that if you take away a serious understanding of sin and its consequences, well, who needs to hear the gospel? Why do we need a savior if sin has suddenly been conveniently got rid of? Let's think for a moment about the society in which we live. Let me just for a moment describe to you, you don't need me to do this, but let me just remind you of the kind of society in which we live. To make it a little bit more personal and meaningful, this is the kind of society that your children are growing up in, or are going to grow up in, or your grandchildren. It's a society where basically the Bible has been set to the side. It's no longer seen as an authority. It's no longer seen as having any real relevance. Our forefathers lived in a society where the Word of God was seen as an authority, but that's no longer the case. Absolutes have been rejected. There's nothing black and white now. Everything's gone into a bit of a dull grey. The idea, well, whatever floats your boat, dear, is okay. But don't push it onto me. That's the kind of standard way of thinking. We live in a society where there's a great quest for entertainment and pleasure. And young folk will know, you're maybe more familiar with some of these things than some of the senior folk. The number of music channels on our screens and entertainment and pleasure. Self is king. I am the most important person. I do it my way, following Sinatra of old. And there is an increasing skepticism about Christianity. And there is an increasing standing at a distance with anything to do with the biblical Christian worldview. And certainly the idea that we are sinners, and the idea that there is such a thing as sin in which we are born, sounds far-fetched and just a world away. But is it such a ludicrous thing? When we talk, by the way, about original sin, we are thinking of the words of Psalm 51 and verse 5, for example, where it says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." That's what Christians mean by original sin. The sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, has been passed down to us and to you. Christianity teaches that you and I have been born in sin. Now, this whole idea of sin and original sin, is it so ludicrous? Let me ask you to do something. Think in your mind of the world in which we live. Is it not reasonable to say that there is something seriously wrong with our world? It was G.K. Chesterton, a famous individual of a bygone age, who spoke of original sin as the one Christian truth that can be verified by opening your eyes anywhere, any day of the week, and look around you and see what you see. Does that not illustrate that there's something seriously wrong with our world? Let me say to you folks, turn on the 6 o'clock news. Pick up any newspaper tomorrow morning in the newsagent. And what will you read about? You will read about war. You will read about suicide bombs. You will read about the abuse of money and the abuse of power and the abuse of sex. You will read about theft. You will read about dishonesty. You will read about lies. Now, more to the point, look into your own heart. Look into your own heart, can I say to you this morning, folks? And what do you see? Do you see anything that you would rather not see? Do you see anything dark? Do you see anything at all that makes you say, oh dear, I wish that wasn't there? Go on, admit it. You do see those things. It is in all of our hearts. Do you have to teach a toddler to throw a tantrum? I don't think so. You see, what is happening around us and within us is just what you would expect to see if the biblical doctrine of original sin is true. And yet we live in a society that will not hear of it. Why? Because the implications are too great. It means that they have to start taking seriously what the Bible begins to speak about other things as well. See, the Bible says, it doesn't put it in very flattering language, what is wrong with our world. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And my point is this, that society and the world doesn't want to hear that. It will deny that. It was interesting as I was looking for, as I sometimes do, for maybe a little image on Google, you come across many things. And I even saw a little image that was saying, the problem's not with you, the problem's with the world. Now that's undermining what Christianity teaches. That Christianity teaches the problem is actually with us. That's why there's a problem in the world. Our society is packed full of people who claim to know best, but in reality, according to Christianity, we do not know ourselves, nor do we really want to know the reality. If you're not yet a Christian and you're here this morning, you do not really know yourself. Or at least you have not yet faced up to your reality and the reality of who you really are in the face of God. You see, according to Christianity, you and I were made by God for God. And you will only begin to really know yourself when you face up to the reality of God. And when you face up to the reality of God, then you will face up to the reality of who you really are. A sinner born in sin. And if you continue in that state, it will ruin you eternally. That is what Christianity teaches. You may have seen on the television the other night the very, very sad story of a dear person who had been assaulted in Belfast for 15 quid. And I was just struck, and my heart went out to the person. I was just struck by something that she said that I didn't agree with. She said she couldn't understand why people would do such a thing because people are born good. No, says Christianity. People are not born good. We sin because we are sinners. The problem, according to Christianity, is inbuilt. It is actually in our DNA. Why is it that so many people will say, "Don't tell me what to do"? Why is it that most of us, all of us, recognize that in our hearts, is it not true to say that you do not like being told what to do? If somebody tells you what to do, there's something within you that says, "Don't you dare tell me what to do." And we even have a situation now across our nation where that is basically the response of many to the Christian gospel, to Christian ministers, to preachers, and to evangelists. "Don't dare tell me what to do." Why is that reaction there? It's because, according to Christianity, that built into the very DNA of each and every person is this rebellion. And we can either believe that and look to the gospel, or we can either fight against it. Don't get me wrong. Of course, when I look out into the world, I see many problems. There are many injustices. There are many inequalities. There's so much unfairness and so on and so forth. But at heart, what I'm trying to say is this, that whilst there are many problems in our world, that the Christian diagnosis about the heart of the human problem is, as you've heard me say on many times before, that the heart of a human problem is the problem of the human heart. And that is essentially the Christian diagnosis. As you read your paper and you listen to the news and you say to yourself, "What is wrong with this world?" That is the Christian diagnosis. And we just happen to live in a time in the history of our nation when there are many loud voices who don't want to hear what I've just said to you, because they don't want God around them. They will not have God in their lives. We want to do it our own way. We are proud. We are stubborn. We are independent. And it may well be that there's someone here this morning, and that is precisely the summary of your heart. You're not yet a believer. Why is it? It's because you're proud. Allow me to say it. You're stubborn. You're independent. You don't want God in your life. You're scared of what He will do. And you struggle with your own heart and your own desires and many other issues. You see, the Christian can be both realistic and hopeful in this world, because we believe on the one hand in original sin, we are realistic, and we also believe on the other hand in redemption, we are hopeful. Let me repeat that to you. The Christian can be both realistic and hopeful as we look out into our world, because we believe both in original sin and in redemption. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Folks, that is the bad news, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God. That is the bad news. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the good news, that when you accept that when you accept that you are a sinner, you are a sinner by nature, you are a sinner by life, and that sin will take you into the lostness of eternity without God. Here is the good news, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that passage in Romans goes on. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And that is the gospel. And so I say to you this morning, if you are not yet a believer, recognize your need. See yourself for who you are. Acknowledge that you're proud and stubborn and independent and that you need Christ, and run to Jesus and throw yourself on him, repenting of your sins, and he will save you and he will give you the power to change. He will give you the power to change. And can I encourage you to come out week by week as we think about these things? Sin and its cure. Sin and its cure. All the talk about Christianity can essentially be boiled down to this, that you are a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. But bless God, praise God, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight, and to the rescue came. Bless God, praise God, run to him, run to Jesus. Flee from the wrath to come. Let us pray. Father, we live in an age that does not recognize most of these things. But Lord, help us not so much to think of what others are thinking, as to take on board what your holy word says. Help us to believe it. Help us to rest upon it, to find new life and freedom in Jesus Christ, through whom we pray. Amen.